Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my gosh, you guys are so funny.
You know the answer to that.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, oh, Dirty and the Blonde Bomber, as well as Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill. And we'll hear from Moneybags a little bit later on in Best Bets. Have the latest. And the latest for you is there's a lot of news. We talked about it a bit with our guy Brandon Scott here in the last segment, but a lot of news with the Texans. But before we get to the Texans injury news, first off, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And tomorrow, The Drive will be live. A little thirsty Thursdays as The Drive heads back to New Caney. Same spot from last week, Buffalo Wild Wings.
When you get a chance to party, party.
21372 US 59 in New Caney. So go and have a good time, hang out. Prizes, great food, great drinks, Bud Light girls, as it will be a good time. And don't forget, Football Friday is in Humble at Big City Wings. 9240 Sam Houston Parkway on Friday, Football Friday, Big City Wings. So come hang out and enjoy yourself with The Drive, because The Drive will be live coming up tomorrow and Friday. So go hang out. But Clint, before I just run down the injury report, because this thing is getting long. It's a Wednesday practice. Derek Barnett.
Take a deep breath.
I'll take one. Derek Barnett did not practice. Stephon Diggs, limited rest, so that feels like more of a veteran day. Kenyon Green, that's one offensive lineman, did not practice with the knee. Jake Hansen did not practice with the back. Kirk Heinisch was a full participant. He's been injured. Titus Howard, that's a second offensive lineman, did not practice with a hamstring issue. Kamari Lassiter, and we'll stop on that one real quick if you're just joining us. Kamari Lassiter has a shoulder injury and did not practice. And according to our guy Brandon Scott, who we just talked to, this one is a real potential that he at least misses time, at least misses this week's game against the Patriots. There is a possibility of that. Not saying that it is for sure going to happen, but that is a possibility coming up for the game. So he is one to watch. Joe Mixon with that ankle, did not practice. Elshon Phillips with a hip was limited. Damian Pierce returned to practice, although he was limited with that hamstring. And then Laremy Tunsil, Jimmy Ward, who left the game early with the groin. Laremy has the ankle issue. Robert Woods with the foot. They all didn't practice today, Clint. So that is a long list. Many of those starters, many of those contributors that you would expect to be a part of the team on Sunday to play did not practice on today. And it's Wednesday. It'll be big to see tomorrow to see what happens. But that's a lot of guys. I know the offensive line was a big thing to you, and I know Kamari Lassiter was a big thing. So three of your starting offensive linemen did not practice.
Yeah, that's the headliner here. Obviously, Kamari Lassiter and the depth at the cornerback position isn't what we once thought it was. Kamari Lassiter, is he going to play? Kamari Lassiter, if he doesn't play, who is the backup? Jeff Okuda is available to come off of IR. I don't know if he's healthy enough to do so. I would imagine if he is, he would already be out there. Other than that, they're picking up elevating guys off the practice squad, corners off the practice squad. How do they handle the absence of Kamari Lassiter? Absolutely is a monster question here. Three offensive linemen on the Wednesday did not practice report. My frustration with that is if you're going to win a Super Bowl, if you're going to be a legit contender to win a Super Bowl, you've got to get things figured out up front. You absolutely have to get things figured out up front. I don't know how you do that with guys that aren't practicing. Tytus Howard, I understand he missed a game, so clearly there's an injury there. I have no idea. If we're still talking about this Laremy Tunsil ankle that happened 2 weeks ago, I don't understand how the approach with Laremy is not, let me get my ass out there and figure out how we can get this run game rocking and rolling and get ready to play a defensive front that's going to throw a million different things at us, and let me get out there and get the best work that I possibly can. Kenyon Green?
That's got to be legit.
Yeah,
right?
But look, with Kenyon Green, Kenyon Green's been out there. I mean, if anybody, Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs have got, there's more miles, they put more miles on their body than anybody.
They played in
anybody,
Canton.
Absolutely, and a lot in Canton, right? I mean, they played every damn preseason game. They were at every practice they could possibly be at. When you talk about them two dudes, they've earned the trust, I guess, to say, hey man, I cannot go today. But
with Kenyon being a guy where he is, he's definitely not someone, Clint, that you're like, he's gonna get a vet day or something. You think like they need him off his. Of his legs with that knee.
Yeah, there must be something wrong. But look, that's fine. My concern, I'll put it to you this way. I'll put it as nicely and positively as I possibly can. My concern is that with the offensive line, there's a standard. There's a Laremy Tunsil standard set. You can't tell me that Laremy Tunsil just gets to do whatever the hell he wants to do and everybody else doesn't act accordingly. We're talking about a captain. We're talking about a guy that's one of the highest paid. We're talking about a guy, whether you like it or not, is one of the most influential offensive linemen on the team. And if the guys that are under him, that are looking up at him, see him having veteran days and see him nursing an ankle to the tenth, then, well, why can't they? I just don't. Like, my concern is that there's across the board, again, it's either being allowed or it's being coached, the level of like acceptance of whatever you want to call this offensive line play as it pertains to a run game, the level of acceptance is mind-blowing for a D'Amico Ryans coach football team.
Yeah, but I think you make a great point. This the number one thing it feels like they've got to improve upon is not just the run game, but protections. They've got to improve upon that. And it's tough to be able to improve upon that if you're not getting ripped.
Been saying it for a year and a half. Now, Kamari Lassiter, we mentioned him. Ron, also Damian Pierce, right? I mean, Damian Pierce.
He's back, yep.
Joe Mixon, I don't know if and when we're going to see him back. But Damian Pierce, when you listen to D'Amico Ryans, when you listen to C.J. Stroud, and with people that were out at practice today, it looks like Damian Pierce is a go. And it sounds like Damian Pierce is for sure a go for this football team. The fact that he's listed as limited, I mean, a little nervous because we've seen the limited. We've seen the participating on Friday, not from him, but from Joe Mixon, and then didn't play. So I'd like to see him full go. It'll be nice to get DP back and just have a higher caliber running back available out there, have more options available. And then Robert Woods, Ron. I mean, I think Robert Woods, I mean.
I'm hoping that's just rest. I'm hoping that's a veteran rest type of thing. I know he has his foot.
Yeah. Very well could be, but I mean, when you talk about a guy last week in the punt return game, I don't know about fair catching him inside the five. That don't make a whole lot of sense. But when it mattered the most, the catch and run that he made right there at the end when he caught that punt and got north and south and got the necessary yardage and got down in time for the offense to run one play, that was smooth. My man was smooth with it right there. That was big time. And so to have that available, that's a weapon. So what Robert Woods on here, it jumps off as well.
Glad you – interesting you brought up the point with Joe Mixon. It is crazy. How did we get from Joe Mixon practicing running and jumping all over the place on Friday ahead of the Jags game to where
– I love Joe Mixon.
Like, he's still not practicing again. Like, thought for sure when you saw that he was playing. Definitely would have thought he played against Buffalo, so – well, hopefully that is because now that's three consecutive games missed, and then basically half of the Chicago game.
To me, the worry there, Ron, is look, I understand, like, because a big part of an ankle injury like that is you got to strengthen it before you play again, or you're just going to keep rolling. It's going to be a problem all year long. And now the pain goes away, unless you break it, obviously, that you could roll it two or three times and you're not stretching those ligaments and tearing it up any more than it already is. So the initial pain goes away, but that loose ankle ends up causing you problems the entire year. So there's something there about getting that thing back strong and getting back rolling. I'm shocked that it's taken this long. Hell, I've been saying it from jump. I'm – the handies.
I don't think you thought he was going to miss a game, be honest.
Hell, he went right back in the Indy game. What was the Indy game? Chicago game. I mean, I thought he was going to come back. So, yeah, I'm still at a point where the fear this long for an ankle injury to keep a guy out this long, Ron, especially again with the problems that they're having running the football and the need of that caliber running back in the game, is that there may be something more wrong with that ankle. There may be something. There may be some Kyle Tucker type stuff going on here with that ankle that they didn't initially see or didn't think was going to be as much of an issue.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully they're just getting it back as strong as they possibly can. We'll see.
From the text line, he could have aggravated it, Ron. Yeah, I understand that.
Texter, I think you're aggravating Rod.
Just saying. Just went from a Friday practice where he was going and then...
Well, we're definitely a crew that don't believe in guys aggravating things. Damn sure not at practice.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. I'm wondering, because I feel like Tyler goes this way. Tyler's a Psycho fan, and many of you are as well. Have you all quit baseball since the Astros lost?
100%. Haven't watched a single game.
You're just betting on it, but you're not watching.
Well, I mean, I guess I do kind of glance up the TV up here at the station whenever games are on in the evening, but I'm not.
But it's
watching.
Not you turning. You're not watching.
Yeah.
You could. Hey.
Ron's in it. Ron's got it on his phone.
Hell yeah, he is.
I thought the Royals must have been playing. Hell, it's the Gladiators and the Guardians and the
Gladiators. Yeah,
it's the Guardians and the Tigers.
Man, I love postseason baseball.
Ron's Royals and Yuli.
I love
Yuli's gonna be the hero.
He has been a godsend.
La Peña. Love to see.
Hey, he don't hit that thing past the track. But I mean, he is getting old.
Only 40-year-old Major League Baseball player in history to score three times in a postseason game.
My boy got to the team September 1st and has slid into the 5-hole on a playoff team, baby. Every game out. But this, I understand it. I have had to quit the NCAA tournament when Kansas has been bounced. But it has been a very, very entertaining playoff series. You just talked about it. The ALDS got started up. The Guardians, they just lost. They're the 2 seed. They just lost to the Tigers 3-0. That series is now 2-1 Detroit. They got a chance to close it out coming up tomorrow. The Yankees and Royals get going here a little bit later on with that series tied. The Phillies and the Mets. The Mets have a chance to close out the Phillies tonight. And the Padres, that's actually happening right now. The Padres... They got a chance to close out the Dodgers, and listen, I'm not gonna lie to you. That's 0-0 in the fourth. By the way, Mets Phillies. I'm not gonna lie to you. Watching this and looking at this, I think it makes the Astros run as impressive as you can think of right now, because everything I've said, if you notice. The Padres hold a 2-1 lead and can close it out. They're the lower seed. The Dodgers have the best record in baseball. The Mets, they got a 2-1 lead. They can close it out. The Phillies, they've really felt like they've been the best team, best record for most of the year. They're the 2 seed in the National League. The Guardians were the 2 seed, and the Tigers can close them out tomorrow. The Royals have a chance to win to take a 2-1 lead and try to close out the Yankees. All of the lower seeds, except for this Royals-Yankees game that hasn't started, they are the teams that have the lead in it. And to think that the Astros, every year, and like, tell me if I'm wrong, right? At least since I've been here, except for that COVID year.
Seven times!
They have been a higher seed. It is so fickle, and upsets can happen so easily in baseball. To think that the Astros continued year after year to at the very least get to the ALCS, which is sometimes 2 rounds that they've had to get through. And we could see this could be an entire LCS where all of the lower seeds beat the teams that have been the best all year. It just makes it even more impressive what the Astros have done.
Really, really happy.
For 7 straight years getting into the ALCS as a favorite for most of the time. And we can see all of these favorites might fall. It's just crazy. Tyler, I'm just telling you, man, step out, man. Watch it a little bit. Have a little fun.
I mean, I really have been glancing up because I am betting these games a lot, winning some money, by the way, too.
At Padres, Dodgers, I feel like there's a fight that's brewing. From fans to Manny Machado's throwing the ball at managers to the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
I mean, it
awful
is,
ass fans and their behavior out there in L.A.
And the Mets, every single one of their games, it seemed like, except for game three, come down to it. So you might want to check that out if you haven't quit baseball. By the way, Astros news real quick before we roll out. Mauricio Dubon played the final month of the Astros season with a torn ligament in his left thumb. That will require surgery. He did have that surgery and is expected to be ready for spring training. So Dubon.
Doobie's a warrior.
And he was still hitting better than Jake. He was still hitting better than Jake.
Add to it, man. Guys out there playing hurt, man. Imagine that.
Got a torn ligament in his left thumb. Doobie! Still out hitting Jake.
I see you. Drive by on Jake.
I'm sorry.
Jake with the rake.
Go back to your utility role next year, baby.
I screwed it up.
Do your thing. So, that's the latest with Dubon. As you said, there should be ready for spring training. All right, coming up, I want to look at the Big Four. The Big Four free agents that the Texans picked up. We're five games in. How you feeling about them? How are you feeling about these four? Diggs, Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon, and Azeez. How are you feeling about the Big Four that they've picked up thus far in the first five games? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Casario seems to have a massive Italian brain.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Again, hang out tomorrow. The Drive will be live out at the Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. Same location as last week. So come hang out a little Thirsty Thursday.
Yeah!
Oh, my. There it is. And then Football Friday, Big City Wings in Humble, South Sam Houston Parkway. So come North Sam Houston Parkway. So come hang out with The Drive as of course, it will be live. Upcoming to end the show in a little bit. Best bets. Tyler going to hold you down, baby. Tyler going to try to get you to make some money. Like, I want to keep a number, a count of this. To see how successful.
Oh, I love that.
How successful. Like, I feel like we should start with a certain amount of money and then just see.
I'll turn it into a fortune for you.
Not real money, but at least best bets, fake money. We'll start with a good 500.
Daddy Tyler got you.
I'll put 150 in. Or what would that be? I guess that'd be more like 166 in. I'll do that.
That didn't work for me. It didn't. I tried to sort through Daddy Tyler.
What about Papa Tyler's got you?
No, it's not. That's still not.
All right, I'll work at it.
I just don't think putting anything in front of Tyler is gonna work like that. Like
damn
like
Tyler,
Papa Tyler.
How about Bookie Tyler?
Sexy Tyler. Like maybe Best Bets Tyler. I'm not sure. Well, you know what? I don't mean to take that from you. You keep workshopping that.
I will.
Yeah, not King Tyler. None of that. None of that won't. That won't.
What about King Ding-a-ling Tyler? He's already got a drop for that one.
It's too much, right? King.
Oh, King Ding-a-ling in there. Yeah,
it's a lot there. All right. Let's look at the Big Four free agents. Five games in, as they're 4-1. The team is in a successful spot. But how you all feeling about it? 713-573-5724-610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, how are you feeling about Diggs, Stephon Diggs, 31 catches, 315 thus far with two touchdowns. Got a rushing touchdown as well. Danielle Hunter has a sack and a half with 13 tackles. Those were probably the two big ones. Joe Mixon, tough there. He's played two games, really one and a half. Had the big, big game against the Colts, but he's rushed for 184 yards with a touchdown. Caught six balls for 44. And then Azeez Alshire, who as I said last week, was sensational. 37 tackles, one sack, flying around the place, playing all over the place, and seems to be the unquestioned leader of the defense right now. So, as I said, how are you feeling about the four free agents, the four big
the four free agents. Win now moves that were made offseason. Yeah, look, I really like what we've seen from Diggs both on and off the field. He's on pace for 100 catches. He's on pace for 1,000 yards. He's on pace for, you know, eight total touchdowns. I really like what we've seen from Diggs. Mixon, the jury's still out on.
Yeah.
I mean, I like what I've seen, the little bit of what I've seen. I like it, both in the run game and in the pass game. I like it.
Both of those guys you just named, Diggs and Mixon, to me, and I think along with at least another one, they have, to me, almost in surprised a bit, added more than just their on field. I think
Diggs
and Mixon, I think that's a missing part from Mixon, is it just seems like an added juice to the offense.
Well, I think you can throw Azeez Al-Shaair in there.
And I was going to say the third one. Him and CJ, I think, are probably the leaders on this football team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, second on the team in tackles, 37 total tackles, one sack. I don't know. Like, I think Azeez Al-Shaair is – I think he's playing at his ceiling. I watch him, and he's not a super dynamic pass rusher. He's not super athletic, even though he just made the big time play over the middle covering the tight end that I think changed the game this week. He's not. You don't want to get him matched up in that situation often. I mean, he is a true run stuffer, downhill player. Like, he's unbelievable instincts.
I certainly didn't think he was going to be making plays. Pass breakups down the middle of the field.
No, I didn't think that either. But Azeez is, I think the where it puts him over the top is, I knew you signed a good player. I knew you signed a tackling machine. I don't think I was aware of the level of leader that he is, which obviously D'Amico was. So I think those three, good to go. Let's ride. I think Danielle Hunter's been one that I expected more out of.
Mm. We on the same page, though, dude.
Yeah.
Clint, because I would rank it, surprise, I would rank it Azeez first in terms of how I feel about these free agent guys. Azeez first, Diggs second. I think a lot of it, Nico Collins has just taken off, and now the expectation for Diggs, I think, will rise now that he's hurt. But he's played his second fiddle pretty well, and then the whole leadership stuff is to another level. And as you said, Joe Mixon, man, that's incomplete. It's tough to roll there. I'll be honest with you, I'm disappointed in Danielle Hunter. Like, from what I expected, I thought there was a case you could say CJ, and then the next most important piece to the team would be Danielle Hunter. The guy on that defense that's just you can game plan for, and he's just still gonna wreck the game. Not seeing a lot of wreck the game stuff, right? Like, even, like, you know, and I understand that that some people disagree with me about these things, and I will continue to say all of the great, great pass rushers don't just accumulate rush pressures. They actually get home and finish it off and get sacks, just like Danielle Hunter has done in his history. So I'm not saying sacks are everything, but I do believe in getting home. I do believe that's what separates Max Crosby, because he gets home and he gets sacks. I do believe that's what separates Garrett, because he gets home. He not only gets pressures, he gets sacked through double teams.
Oh my goodness.
It's not just that he's not getting sacks and his sack numbers are down. There aren't a lot of times, not saying it hadn't happened all year, but there are not a lot of times where I've left and thought, damn, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, Danielle just wrecked that game. I've had that more with Will. Like, I thought in the game Sunday, you spoke about it, his pass rush to cause that last throw did not give Josh enough time to step into that last throw where there was open receiver that led to the punt that ultimately led to the field goal. Was something I've just not seen what I expected. I thought they were getting a premier pass rusher, and he still can get that. It's just five games, but to this point, the impact that I thought Danielle Hunter would have, I'm a little bit disappointed from what he has shown.
Yeah, look, I expected more. I like you said, I'm not necessarily the number. That's why I didn't mention the numbers. I don't really care Now, I mean, you obviously paid him a lot of money. You got to get double digit sacks, and you got to be a problem.
But for me,
it's less about the numbers and more about just as you watch the game. Like, is he constantly impacting the pocket? Is he collapsing the pocket? Is he winning and getting home? You know, is he, when they do get rolling on a run, is he an issue in the run in the run defense? I just expected more, which I think when you come with the price tag that Danielle Hunter came with, I think that's natural.
Yeah, and maybe for me, some of that Minnesota game's rubbing off when you watch Jonathan Grenard and do what he did, and we'll see. And hopefully over the next 5-10 games rest away, Danielle Hunter starts to look like the guy that, you know, they went out and got. I mean, he's not been horrible. I want to make that clear. Like, he's been a good player. But you paid
him to be a top pass rusher in the NFL, and you paid him to be an every down defensive end that can set the edge, that can do it all. And through five games, I mean, I'm sure D'Amico's happy. I'm sure D'Amico's happy with the play and the performance. But ultimately, when you get paid that kind of money, I mean, there's a level of production there that jump off the screen type of production. I mean, typically that comes with that price tag.
It's just, we've watched defensive games. Jalen Petrie's had a game where you couldn't miss him off the field.
Yep.
Right? Azeez in this last game had a game you couldn't miss him off the field. Just, you know, and it wasn't just about stats. You want to see more of that. All right, coming up, Nico Collins goes to IR, and Clint says it's time for this player to step up. It's a little tank time. We'll see. We'll see what that looks like, and best bets coming up as well as we finish things off right here on
postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here at on The Drive right here at Sports Radio 610. Stay tuned with us. All right, Clint, the big news to kick things off, and this happened before we were on the air, Nico Collins, he goes to the IR with a hamstring issue. He's going to miss at least four games, That's going to be the road game in New England coming up, the road game against the Packers, back home, the Colts, and then at New York with Aaron Rodgers and company against the Jets. So those are the four games he will at least miss. The next two behind them are Sunday Night Football home against the Lions and then Monday Night Football in Dallas. So those are the next six games. So hopefully he is back for the Detroit game. And there's a lot to look at with this, Clint. And I do think this isn't a situation, right, where, yo, the Texans are screwed when you look at their roster, or where they got to go find somebody. They got to go get somebody to replace because they've lost their number one receiver and really the league's number one receiver from a production standpoint in the game. They have options. D'Amico spoke about those options. We've heard from Steph Diggs, who they signed and brought over. Tank Dell, obviously. Dalton Schultz. The run game. Xavier Hutchinson, who made some nice contributions in the game on Sunday against the Bills. For you, there is one person that sticks out to you that the Texans really need to step up in this time that Nico Collins is down.
Yeah, look, I think it's tank time. It's that easy. We've seen Tank Dell be extremely explosive. We've seen him be a go-to receiver. We've seen him create separation consistently. We've seen him be more of a true receiver in the pass game and not necessarily a gadget guy. In fact, once I laid eyes on him last year in camp, I was like, whoop, forget the gadget guy. This dude's a legit receiver. Let's treat him like one. Now, for this year, because of I think, again, there's not enough balls to go around. I think when everybody's healthy, it's hard to make everybody a priority. But now that Nico Collins is out, I think it's tank time. It's really easy. It's an easy transition because what you've got is you plug Xavier Hutchinson in right there in some of the stuff that Nico does. You Tank Dell, you whatever package that you have for him, you expand that sucker. And then Ivan Diggs and Dalton Schultz, they just keep on keeping on doing what they've been doing. And so it's an easy transition. Given the depth at the wide receiver room, this better not be a situation where this offense takes a huge hit. Yeah, Nico Collins is a very productive receiver. He's a very productive player. He is a nightmare for defenses. I get that. Without a doubt, I get that. But you still don't have enough footballs to go around, even with Nico hurt. You got Dalton Schultz, a really good pass-catching tight end when he's right. You got Stephon Diggs, one of, if not the most targeted receiver in the last 5 years of NFL football, right? You got Tank Dell, who's every bit of a 1,000-yard receiver last year and can create separation with anybody in the game. And you've got players that should go out there and allow you to continue or allow you to at least go out and win a ball game through the air. To have no fear whatsoever throwing the football. And I think it's tank time. I think this is the time when you see a tank-centric offense.
Tank is a freaking beast, bro.
That's going to be the change that we see from the previous five games to this one. Everybody else, just keep doing what you're doing.
So you don't see like a Diggs' role changing at any point.
Diggs had 9 catches last week. I don't know how much more do you ask him to do, and why would you? You don't have to. Like, I don't want Diggs to do anything but what Diggs has been doing, right? Does that mean maybe he's the focal point and he goes for another 9 catches or even 12 catches or something? Cool, I'm fine with that. But the adjustment here is Tank's got to be a big part of the offense in the pass game, not in the gadget game. Now, he can do both, but in the pass game, Tank's got to be that guy. And so... I'm just here for it, man. I can get good and juiced up for this. I've said it multiple times. I do believe that Tank Dell is a true Z receiver, but I don't care where you put him. Put him wherever you want. He's versatile. I think the fact that he can create as much separation as he can, he's the best separator in this wide receiver.
Have you still been seeing that this year? Have you? Because I know you watched the All 22. Or is he not really even getting opportunities to run?
Well, I don't know that I've seen it enough to sit here and just plant the flag. I saw it enough last year to have confidence in it. Year, yeah. But this year we haven't. With him being injured one of the games and the other games being so run heavy in week one, and then you can't protect in week two with Chicago, and it's been tough to really stake claim on any true statement about any of these wide receivers, to be honest with you,
because there's a deal he's looking like the Tank from last year.
Yes,
just the ball's not coming his way. And if that is,
well, I'll tell you this: in camp, with all these DBs that we were talking about, he ain't had no problem shining damn near every day, right? I mean, when it was obvious they were trying to get Tank Dell the football, there was major separation created, there was big plays made. He hasn't lost a step whatsoever with the rough offseason that he had. So I'm excited about it because I think it's going to look different, right? Nothing against Nico and the way the offense roll when it's rolling with him in it. That's beautiful as well. But the explosiveness that Tank and Tank being a focal point of Tank is a better separator than Diggs is. Tank is quicker and more twitchy than Diggs is. And again, I'm not taking anything away from Diggs. I think in those categories, Tank is elite. And so it appears that he's fully healthy. Can he have one of those games and have a month or 6 weeks run of the same caliber of football that we saw him have last week? I think it's an exciting brand of offensive football. And I am stoked to see the chemistry that he had at one point with C.J. Stroud, to see that drummed up a little bit here.
Sunday's game without Nico, he had 4 catches for 38 yards on 4 targets.
Yep.
So the kind of expected maybe he'd be a little bit more involved once Nico stepped out of the game. The hope is to see that go up. As someone just texted in, need to stop the misdirection plays with Tank and use Tank downfield. I think that was the way that they were – I think having to get him the ball. There was the way they were feeling having to. I think we'll see him used, and I think that's what Clint is saying, we'll see him used differently. I don't know how many end arounds we're going to see as much as we see him running pass routes and running routes where he is a high priority to get the ball to.
Yeah, but that's the change to me, Ron, is just a lot more tank-centric offense. And I think CJ adjusts and gets the ball out quicker, which I think that plays into the hands of Tank Dell as well. So we'll see, but I'm good and jazzed up for that one.
All right, before we get to best bets, a little programming. Remember, tomorrow The Drive will be live in New Caney, Buffalo Wild Wings, same location as last week. Come on out Thirsty Thursday. Prizes, good food, good drinks, as Bud Light and the Bud Light girls, they'll take care of you and hopefully help you win some pretty cool prizes that we have every single week. So come hang out in New Caney tomorrow, Buffalo Wild Wings, a little Thirsty Thursday. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access. The general manager will be there, Nick Caserio, 6 o'clock sharp. And then following them, Area 45, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Chris Santiago will hold you down 8 to midnight.
Shout out Santiago.
That's right. We're live and local until midnight. All right, Tyler, here we go. Tyler's best bets. I'm serious. I think we should keep a money count. Start at like $100 or something.
Easy. I track all my bets.
And to see how much money Tyler. Now we can really let the people know every single night. Yeah. Tyler makes money.
Yeah.
Tyler makes money.
Yeah. The thing is, I am a degenerate. I love to gamble on sports. I already love sports as it is, but it makes it way more fun to watch, especially if the team that you're not a fan of is playing. So I think this is a good idea. We'll start doing this best bets deal.
Let's do it. Tyler's best bets. All right. Hey, you got $500 with these three bets. Separate your cash. You got $500 on these three bets. Not real money because I ain't got that for you, but $500 on these three bets. What are your best bets, Tyler? And the people, y'all want to make some money, listen up. What are your best bets,
yes,
Tyler?
Sir. I got three best bets for you using that $500 allowance, and they're all, of course, around within Major League Baseball's postseason games tonight. Not a whole lot of sports going on out there. But I got three bets. First one, your squad, Ron, the Royals game, the Royals and Yankees game tonight. I am on over 8 runs in that game. The odds for that I got were at -120, and I'm going to use $200 of my $500 on that one.
Mm, okay.
So there's $200 gone, Royals, Yankees over 8. The other two best bets I got for you on this hump day are both in the Padres game. First of all, I'm on the Padres money line. So the San Diego Padres to just win this game tonight flat out over the Dodgers. Got those odds at -130 earlier today. And then I'm on a player prop in that game. A guy that the Astros saw very recently, looked very good. I am putting... Oh, and for the money line for the Padres, I'm going to do $100.
Okay, you're going to use it all, ain't you?
And then I'm going to do $200 more on Dylan Cease over 4.5 strikeouts. That's the third and final best bet. Dylan Cease is going to have at least 6 Ks in this one.
You didn't have to use it all if you didn't want to. Actually, that's the one I like the best, Dylan Cease, the strikeouts.
I like the Padres money line. Dodgers going to the little bullpen game.
Yeah.
That lineup's going to have a field day.
Yeah, the Yankees, Royals, 8, that's a little strong. That big ballpark, Seth Lugo. Been pretty good against the Yankees. We'll see. Not bad. All right. I'm going to track this. I'm going to see how much money this
is. It'll be fun. Follow me to the money, people.
I have our ass in the hole, Lenny.
Poppy Tyler got you, Houston.
Nope. Poppy Tyler.
Let's put some money in them pockets out there, H-Dan.
That ain't do it for me. He's going to have our ass in the hole. Again, coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Nick Caserio. Stay tuned for that. Area 45, live and local till midnight. They'll hold you down there as well. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Shout out to D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud who are on the show kind of today. Shout out to Brandon Scott who joined the show as well. I am Ron Hughley as always, Houston. We love you, baby. On the text line, can we get a happy birthday shout out to my son Aiden Garcia from his dad Corey Garcia?
Happy birthday, Aiden!
That's right. Happy birthday, Aiden.
That was a legit shout out.
Sorry, I came in a little
hot. Shout out, man. That's good. Aiden, happy birthday, Corey. happy birthday to your son, and get him something nice, not just some damn cupcakes to blow candles out. Get him a fake chain or something. Get him a fake chain with an A on it. Something
magnet
like
earring,
gold or something like magnet earring. Yeah, get him a grill or something on the bottom.
Fellas, good to be here.
Then I look at you.
That big Nick energy.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.